Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Galatians and chapter 4, and we're going to begin with the first verse, and Brother Randy will lead us.
But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant, though he is lord of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the father. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God.
Open our Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to John and find chapter 10, if you would, please. We continue our series, Sayings of the Savior. Last week, we began a series within this series. It's a little hard to believe, but we're already to our 17th message in this series. So this is 17 weeks in a row that we have been regarding sayings of the Savior. And today, we're in this series where Jesus is making sayings concerning himself. And we started a few weeks ago on the sayings in the writings of John where he said, I am. He said before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And today in chapter 10, we'll spend both messages in this 10th chapter. And we're talking about Jesus saying, I am the door. And then him saying, I am the great shepherd. So look with me, please, here in our particular passage, and I want you to see something of what he's saying. Let me back up into the 9th chapter, and we see his audience. In verse number 39 in chapter 9, Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. And then Jesus entered into what he called, if you look down to verse 6, he called it a parable. That's what John called it. This parable spake Jesus unto them. So what Jesus is speaking is a parable, and he's making a point of a very common and ordinary thing in that day. He's talking about a place where they kept the sheep. So in their little villages, round about where they lived, they would have a common place where they would keep the sheep. And it would be a place that would be large enough for the sheep of that particular community. Many times it would be backed up to some sort of a cliff or an edge, a ledge of some kind, and then they would build rocks around, and they would build a wall that would be maybe 10 or 12 feet in height. Sometimes they would build a tower, and in that tower would be someone who would watch over those sheep during the night. And then every day the shepherds would come, and they would take their sheep out into the pasture, and then they would bring them back every evening, back at the appointed time. They would go back in. And that was the daily process over and over again. So this is the process that Jesus is talking about. So I want you to look with me, please, as to what he says as he begins to talk about these particular sheep and of this parable. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I'm in verse 1 of chapter 10, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, notice he begins talking to those that he's been talking to here in verse number 9, which would be the Pharisees and the scribes, these religious leaders of that day, and he says, I say unto you. So that's who he's talking to. And the sheep are under the care of the shepherd who would watch them through the day, but then there would be someone who would watch over them at night, and in the evening when they would come, Jesus calls that particular person a porter, that word is translated. And the word porter is simply means someone who is a protector of the sheep. So he would be compensated for his work. That was his job, to stay up all night, and he would watch over those sheep so that they would be protected during the night while they're in that sheepfold. So he enters in not by the door. He that enters in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs. In other words, he climbs over the wall, and he tries to get in some other way. Jesus said that he is a thief and a robber. So the porter was to guard against, number one, wild animals, ravenous animals, roaming wild animals, a bear perhaps that might try to get in, but maybe some other wild animal that would want to eat a tender sheep, but also a thief that would want to climb over. And so when they protected them that way, they watched as they came and they looked at them. So Jesus spoke this parable to these Pharisees. It's vital that we don't miss the audience that he's speaking to, these religious leaders of that time. And I want you to notice that the word that he uses is the word sheepfold. And the word sheepfold is a word that we might think of as a sheep farm. It's a place where they would farm the sheep, and there's going to be a difference made a little bit later in our passage. I don't think I come to that until the next hour, but I want you to take a note that he's talking about a sheep farm. And he that climbs in some other way than other than coming through the door is a thief and a robber. There were actually two doors into the sheepfold. There was a small door that only the sheep could come in. So they would open that door and the sheep would come and they would go. And then there was a larger door that the men would come and go from. The one Jesus is talking about has to do with the door for the sheep. So those little sheep that would come and go, and you can see them so cute, baying and as they go and coming and making their little noises as they're coming in and out of that door. And he said, he that comes any other way than by the door is a thief and a robber. So when he talks about the sheepfold, he's talking about he that tries to come in any other way is a representation of national Israel. And so this national Israel represents the Israel to whom God had given the covenants and the promises. They had the history and the revelation. And these men Jesus are speaking of as thieves and robbers. So they are false prophets. They are leaders of men away from the truth rather than coming by the truth. They are men that he refers to as being men of thievery. And there'll be more that'll be said about them as he goes along. Now look in verse number 2. So John chapter 10 and verse 2. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the way the Pharisees entered and presented themselves to the nation was not the way of Christ. But the way of Christ was to come in the way of the door. He came scripturally. He came lawfully. He came rightly. He came justly. He came, as we read a few moments ago in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time. In other words, when God sent him. He came made of a woman and made under the law that he might redeem them that are under the law. The only way that they could be redeemed, those of us who are under the law, would be that he came under the law for us and fulfilled all of the law in our behalf. And that's what Paul is talking about. He also was circumcised the eighth day. In Luke chapter 2 and 21, it speaks of him being circumcised. So from the very beginning, Jesus began to shed his blood. And it would be by the shedding of blood that he would work out a perfect redemption for his people. He was also in life right with man and right with God. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, it tells us in Luke 2 and 52. We know that he was well pleased with in the eyes of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said that both at his baptism and also at the time of his transfiguration in Matthew 17. Jesus clearly is describing himself as the true shepherd of the sheep. So he said, he that enters in not by the door, or who enters in by the door in verse 2, is the shepherd of the sheep. Let me talk with you about this word shepherd for a moment. The Greek word for the word shepherd is the word poimen. It is the word that means to protect. And it is also the word that is translated by the word pastor. And the word pastor comes from a Latin translation. So anytime you refer to someone as a pastor, or you call me Pastor Simpson, you didn't know it, but you're actually speaking Latin. So this word is a word that means to protect, and so it is the protector of the sheep. So he calls him the shepherd or the pastor or the protector of the sheep. And that's what a pastor of a congregation is to do. He is to protect the sheep. To him the porter opens. So the porter opens, the man who's given this responsibility of overseeing. Now this is a parable, we are told, correct? So you have the porter, and he's in charge, and he's the overseer, so who would he be a type of? Well, he is a type, and he is a picture of God. God has the oversight, who comes in and who doesn't come in. And then the shepherd, we know, of course, is the type of Christ. And then who would the sheep be? Well, the sheep, of course, would be the Lord's elect ones, his chosen ones. Christ will say, I lay down my life for the sheep later in this passage. God gave his son, and the son came readily and gladly. And the Hebrews says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but even after his death, he was crowned with glory and honor because the Father received everything about him, everything about Christ, the Father approved. He earned righteousness by his obedience unto death, and the Father approved it so much that he reckoned it. He accepted it, and he gladly imputed it to the account and the record of his people, all in connection with that obedience, meaning at the cross. And by representation, the Heavenly Father accepted those that the Son came in behalf of. He gave them to the Son, and the Son gave his life for them, and just as he accepted the Son, he accepted them. But how different this is from the Pharisees that he's been talking about, because notice he says in verse 3, the porter opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. But when you begin to speak of the Pharisees, they do not hear his voice, and they do not come. They will not open their ears to hear. I don't really know much about sheep. I've watched them. I've looked at them. I've seen them as I drive along the road, as you have, I suppose. But I don't think sheep are very smart. That's the idea that I get about sheep. I don't think you can drive sheep. Dogs can nip at their heels and make them move. But I don't think shepherds force them forward. Shepherds lead them, if I understand correctly. So they're out front with their staff, and they're leading the sheep, and they will follow them. They're not very smart, but they know the voice of their shepherd. So they know the voice of this one, and they said, no, it's not my shepherd. And so they don't follow him. But then their shepherd comes, and they know his voice, and they follow him. And that's what he's saying here. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He speaks to them, and he leads them out. He goes with his staff, and he leads them out, and they go out to that pasture, and there they're going to feed all day. Now look verse 4, please. It tells us in verse 4 that he puts forth his own sheep and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him and they know his voice. Many of the chosen out of Israel, such as the 12 apostles or even Paul himself, came out of Israel. Later on he will begin to speak of the Gentiles, but he is talking about those who will hear his voice and they do not reject his voice, but they follow him. Now this idea of calling, of course, refers first of all to the effectual calling of grace, but it also refers to the whole calling of salvation. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 9. He said that he calls them out, and this calling was for those whom God had chosen. This unconditional election before the foundation of the world. their justification at the cross by righteousness, and then the irresistible call in time and experience. So what the Father did before the foundation of the world, and what the Son completed at the cross, the Spirit reveals in time and experience. The revelation is not the application, it is the revelation. So that what the Father purposed, the Son accomplished, and the Spirit of God reveals, and they all come. And they're going to be made one fold out of all of them. So he puts forth his own sheep in verse 4, and he goes before them, and they follow him. He initiated his ministry at about 30 years of age, and then at 33 years of age, he was put to death. Notice this word know. They know his voice. The Greek word is oida or ido. It's a word that means perception or to understand. They understand his voice. They hear his voice with perception. Jesus used that same word when he spoke to Nicodemus. He said, if a man is born from above, or he must be born from above, and if he is not born from above, he cannot see. And this is that same word, to perceive or understand the kingdom of God. But here his sheep know, they spiritually perceive his voice. And it's put into their hearts and their minds, and they perceive and they know his voice and they follow him. They're not going to follow another shepherd, but they're going to follow his voice. Now look please at verse 5. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This is simply the way of sheep and their shepherd. They will not follow another shepherd. God's elect sheep will not follow a stranger, and who would the stranger be in this parable? Well, of course, that would be a false prophet. That would be someone who says they speak the truth, but they don't speak the truth. Most of us were in false religion, some of us for many years. But we knew at some point that something is desperately wrong with this. There's something bad wrong in what I'm a part of. But we didn't know what it was. But when God graciously brings the truth to our hearts, we hear that truth and we follow, and we gladly leave where we are and we gladly follow the voice of one who is preaching the truth and telling the truth about who Christ is and why he came into this world. Then verse 6, we have that verse that tells us it's a parable. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them. Now who didn't understand? Well, of course, those Pharisees didn't understand, because they're alarmed to think back here in chapter 9 and verse 40 that they're blind. They can't possibly think that they don't see. And yet Jesus is saying that not only are you blind and you don't know, but he's saying to them that you are a thief and a robber. So then we come to this first place where he says, I'm the door. So look in verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, the repeat of it, verse 1, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And they're the only ones that are going to follow, because back here in verse 6, it said they understood not. The word know we saw before means to know with perception. But now we see this word, they understood not. So the opposite of the word know, but this time he changed words. The first word was to know with an absolute knowledge. Here is a word that means to know by experience. So with all of their experience, they did not know. Why? Because they had no eyes to see, no ears to hear. The Pharisees were spiritually dumbfounded, though they had much religion. They rejected the Messiah that God had promised to Eve in the garden, to Moses in the law, to David in the Psalms, to the prophets in all of the prophecies. And by plain revelation, by types, and by symbols, he had been promised, but they saw him not. John opened up this gospel saying he came unto his own, that his own creation, but his own people received him not. They rejected him. In fact, they spoke against him, wanted to stone him, and finally they nailed him to the cross. So they understood not. They had no experience, even though they had much religious experience to see, know, and understand. Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He didn't say, I'm the door of the sheepfold, did he? He said, I'm the door of the sheep. He didn't say, I'm the door of the sheep farm. I'm the door of the sheep. Now, that's important, and we'll see a little bit more as we go along. So just follow along with me. I am the door of the sheep, he says to them. He will come to speak and say that I'm the door of the sheep, all of the sheep. And those sheep will be both Jews and Gentiles. The sheepfold, the sheep farm, represents national Israel. But he said, I didn't come to be the door of the sheepfold. That is, I am not coming to remake or redo or reestablish the sheepfold. I'm not coming to redo Israel. But the largest view among all who think about the second coming of Christ, they think that he is coming to reestablish national Israel, this sheepfold. They think that he's coming for that. That is known as the premillennial view of Christ. But he's not coming to reestablish Israel. They were a type and a symbol, a great type and symbol, a large type and symbol. But when he came and completed his work, they were set aside, and now he has come to make a new people. And so watch what happens as he goes, said here in verse 8. He said, all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, all the false prophets, all the false shepherds that come before me are thieves and they are robbers. All these false ones that have come before. The word thief is a word that means stealth or deception. And the robber, the word is one that means something of violence. So he speaks of them as being both thieves and men of violence. He's talking about these false prophets. He meant everyone that came before him. But now he says also down in verse 10, even more, taking it further, they came to steal and to kill. So Jesus is very serious about the thing that he is saying to them. Look here in verse 9 now, please. I am the door. So here's the great I am. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. This is a change in language from verse 7. He said, I'm the door of the sheep, and now he simply makes this profound and simple statement, I am the door. I am the spiritual door to the spiritual sheep, to the house of spiritual Israel, which is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. I am the door. And the stress is on the singular, the only door. I'm the only door. There's not another door. I'm the only door. There is only one mediator between God and men, Paul said, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And that's what Jesus is saying. I am the door. There is no other way. There was only one door into Noah's ark. That was a type of Christ. There was only one door into the tabernacle. That was a type of Christ. There's only one way to have a right standing with God, and that is through Christ. He said, by me, if any man enter in. He looked to his elect both among the Jews and the Gentiles. He's not talking about a universal invitation here, but he's talking about the declaring of his person and his work beyond the tent of the Jews to include many Gentiles as well. And aren't you glad? Because that's us. And here is perfect agreement between God's purpose to save and the Son's blood to save and the Spirit's power to reveal that salvation. Notice it is all by me. I am the door by me. There is a condition in all of this, and the condition is Christ himself. I am the door. He came for spiritual and eternal purposes. It's wonderful to help people. It's wonderful to be kind and gracious to people, but Jesus came into this world for eternal and spiritual purposes. Here is the door into God's presence. Here is the door into heaven. Here is the door into security. He is talking about how God's people are safe. He uses the future tense because he's talking about this being an enduring promise. It isn't that it began at some place in the future. For it began in eternity past. It is completed at the cross, but it is a future promise because it is enduring through time. And furthermore, he that comes in by me, he will go in and out, and he will find pasture. Sheep's not going to live long without good pasture. These bleeding sheep are defenseless against predators, and their life is short without pasture. Likewise, God's sheep must have a spiritual leader, and they must have spiritual food to live upon. It is the way of the church and the Lord. And for the sheep to attempt to have spiritual health apart from the feeding that comes in the pasture is to invite spiritual problems and troubles into your life. Now our last verse, verse 10. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. It's as if Jesus looked beyond the Pharisees to the people who are standing in rapt attention and made a clear distinction between himself and the Pharisees. The thief, these Pharisees, they come not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. This word destroy is a word which means to plunder. So he said, they plunder you, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am come that you might have spiritual life. Now he's not talking about putting a chicken in every pot. He's not talking about putting a Lexus in every garage. He's not talking about all of us having to wear fine clothes. When he says, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he's talking about spiritual life. He's talking about spiritual salvation, and there will be none of it that will be wasted. It is a superabundance. It is altogether enough. Paul speaks of the abundance of grace and the abundance of joy in 2 Corinthians, and it is all at once sustaining, and it is all at once satisfying. And by this one parable, the Lord Jesus Christ declared himself to be the only door for the sheep, so there is no other way. He is that one shepherd. He is that one sheep. And they who come in and out are safe by him, and they find pleasure in him. And he is the one in whom we all find our rest if we are his sheep. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father and our God, we bow before your almightiness, your holiness, your sovereignty. We bow before our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer of his people, the ones you gave him, the ones he came for. And we thank you that he has redeemed them successfully in your eyes, that in time and experience, the Blessed Spirit reveals these truths to our poor hearts. Now would you enable us to see? Would you enable us to love one another? Would you bless all who have joined us today? Bless those who are watching by our live streaming and all who will hear this message in years to come. May the Son be honored. May your word be true to our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen.